box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
Hello and welcome to Box Office Refund Podcast. I'm Nico Bell.
And I'm Ward.
And we review low-rated movies.
And decide if the critics were wrong.
Ward, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great! I'm ready to review this movie!
Oh, okay. Okay, that's... You gotta calm it down a little bit.
Yeah, I was thinking, though, should I start doing a different personality every review? I think that'd be a lot of fun.
No, please don't. No, don't do that at all.
No, I think it'd be fun.
No, it's not gonna be fun. It's gonna be very annoying. Please don't.
I think that's up to the listeners. That's not up to you. They may override you on this one.
Anyways, we watched the 2009 fantasy thriller Cirque de Freak, The Vampire's Assistant, with John C. Reilly. Oh, yeah.
Is it fair to call this a box office hit?
I mean, I don't know. I think that might be a little generous.
Wasn't this John C. Reilly's breakout role where nobody really knew him, then he did this? Like, oh yeah, you did Cirque du Freak, The Vampire's Assistant, a movie with an incredibly long name.
Oh yeah, this is the one that he's going to be going down in history for.
On his tombstone.
On his tombstone.
Willem Dafoe is in this! When he came across the screen, I thought, what did this man do? Who did he irritate to get this kind of punishment?
I think he wants to do it. I could see him being like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pencil in a little mustache and I'm going to play this role. Yeah.
He does some odd movies, but this, every actor that I recognized, I thought, they're being punished for something. I just can't figure out what yet.
Okay, listen, in fairness, I really don't think this movie intended to be bad. Well, I mean, no movie does, but this movie specifically, because it does set up to have a sequel. So they...
It does?
Yeah, so they really planned to have, like, some sort of series going on.
Well, it's based on a book series. I mean, I'm sure there's multiple books, because it seems just easy. Once you get that first book out, make a sequel, doesn't matter how bad it is.
Well, it ends with them going their separate ways, obviously, and then they would have to keep fighting each other. So it ends, like, it's going to be a sequel.
Oh, really? Like, his little buddy friend, he didn't die?
Did you watch this movie?
Look. I watched a lot of this, and then for the last...
Are you serious?
Like, once we got to the final fight between Ray Stevenson and John C. Reilly, I just was praying this movie to
end. Are you
serious? I didn't care how it ended.
Oh my gosh.
And honestly, I don't know what happened after that.
Are you serious?
I watched it. Like, it was on the screen. I was 6 inches from the screen. That's how close my face was, because I was so excited. But I don't really know what happened.
Wow! I am just a...
I know the broad strokes. I know enough to say this movie is garbage. And I just kept wondering... What is it? I can never figure out what this movie's trying to be, because at times it seems almost comedic. At times it's like almost dramatic. There's a vampire civil war with vampires and vampire-nese, which is just weird. Sometimes it's almost a lot of things, but it's not one thing fully, and that's a problem, because I just didn't know what this was supposed to be. I didn't know if I was supposed to find this one or if this was earnest. I don't know.
I didn't mind it.
Gosh,
though.
This
I didn't mind
bad.
It. I thought it was fine. It was kind of pleasant to watch visually.
No.
When it got to the part where all the quote-unquote freaks come out and you get to see them all individually, I thought it was interesting. And I didn't actually fall asleep during this one. I didn't look at my phone. I mean, I watched this from start to finish, which is something of an accomplishment, considering that I really phoned it in for next movie that we review later on. So
that was actually a halfway decent movie as far as our standards go.
So this one, okay, you don't like it. I don't hate it.
It's garbage.
No,
it's just like a zero effort movie. It's like, oh yeah, we've got a tween book we're basing it off of. That alone is going to get us all the views and money we need. We don't really need much effort. We're just going to coast on the name alone. And the name of this movie, why is it so long? Just call it Cirque du Freak and leave it at that. Why do we need to call The Vampire's Assistant? There's nothing I like about this movie.
Well, the name of it, because it is his story. It's The Vampire's Assistant's story. I don't mind the name. Yeah, it's long, but
look,
so what?
Make it Cirque du Freak, make it Vampire's Assistant. I don't care which one you pick, but you got to pick one.
Okay, so Darren is The Vampire's Assistant, and the movie starts...
Fun fact, the main character's name, Darren Shan, author of the book series, Darren Shan. Oh my gosh, they're so close.
Okay, all right. So we start the movie with him in a grave playing a video game, and then we learn about how he came to be. Okay, there are a few things sort of off the top that I don't like.
Immediately.
Okay, I don't like the color choices in this movie. I don't like that all the kids at the high school were wearing khakis and polo shirts in pastel colors. You know, I don't love that. That's really my only note. That's it. Everything else was fine. Just the pastels and the polo shirts were not great.
I mean, I like gave it to this movie because at first, you know, I didn't know what this was. I still don't know what this is. But I thought, oh, like the khakis and like the way they're dressed, like, oh, is this some kind of commentary about how, you know, Darren being human is constrained by society and like being a vampire frees him, you know, like,
yes.
Because John, you know, all the freaks like wear really crazy clothes. So that might be a metaphor. They were like, once I got to the universe, oh no, that's just a budget issue.
No, this movie has a point. It's a point about destiny.
No, it doesn't.
It's okay.
No,
first of all, it's good versus bad. Like on a higher level, it's good versus bad. Okay, like all movies are.
I don't even know if it's that.
You didn't watch the end, so I don't think you have a right to
versus
jump
the
in.
Vampire knees, all right? And like, let's just get, because this is the crux of the movie. Vampires feed and kill their victims. Vampire knees.
Nope.
Feed but don't. Is it the other way around?
Wow!
Who cares,
come
right?
on! You did not show up this week.
Okay, vampire knees. They feed and kill. Vampires don't feed. And
yes,
kill.
That is correct.
The problem with that though is if you kill every time you feed, I don't know. After 100 years, the whole world's dead. Like there's not enough bodies to go along with that kind of mindset and that
That's
MO. Like
why
I just
half
the
of them
math does not check
doing
out.
It. That's why half of them stopped doing it. They said that was the reason. And because if they realized that they didn't kill the people, people weren't gonna start killing vampires. So they go undetected. So there's only like
but
a
you
handful
still have
of
a
them that
killing.
Are evil. There's only like a handful of them that are evil. Compared to like a
how often
that
do they need to feed? How often does a vampire need to feed?
I don't know. It depends, I suppose.
I mean, because like, let's say you're draining a whole body. Like, what is that, like 4 quarts of blood or something? And that might could last you a week. Darren, he was not even feeding. He was fine. He just didn't have the superpowers. All right, so you know, maybe the math does check out. If it's a small enough group and they feed infrequently enough, maybe they wouldn't kill the entire world after 100 years. Maybe.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Okay. All right. So Darren is the good guy. All right.
All right. Can I jump in?
Yes.
And interrupt you?
Yes.
You know, you're talking about your few problems with this movie, which... My first problem right off the bat was the voiceover. I hate voiceover. I hate when, you know, we start in the grave like, oh, yeah, well, let's see what happened a couple of days ago. It's just a garbage start. Like, this movie from the start is bad.
I think that's a little harsh.
Nope. That's all right.
Okay. So Darren is the good guy. And you're saying that there's no point to this movie. But he is confined by this college job family mantra that his family has set up for him. That is his life. And he just thinks that that is all he has to offer anybody. Like, he wants to break out of that cookie-cutter suburban mold. And he has his best friend, Steve, who is a pretty, you know, he's a multi-layered character. He had a really bad childhood.
He was until we get to the
end. He has a bad life. He doesn't have any friends. His only friend in the whole world is Mr. Perfect Darren. You know, he's angry and resentful. And so they kind of balance each other out. You know, one helps the other be good. One helps the other be bad. And that's the setup.
And special note, Darren, who becomes a vampire, he has spiders in his blood. And Steve, his friend, has vampires in his blood.
Yeah, Darren's love of spiders is unnecessary. And I was wondering if that comes into play in later. Like, if they were planning to make this into a series and it comes into play later. Because it really had no
It kicked the plot off.
Well,
he was
chasing that
Spider-Man spider. The radioactive Spider-Man spider he chased throughout the entire movie. He became his best friend.
But like,
they might have been in love.
Plot
that
point.
Might happen
like,
in the sequel.
I don't know. I just... The fact that Steve loved vampires and wanted to become a vampire and then Darren became a vampire assistant. Like, that makes sense. Like... Steve's love of vampires plays into the whole entire movie. Darren's...
Yeah, there's some meat there.
Well, Darren's love of spiders is just like, meh. It isn't, like, a fantastic point. I thought it'd be more.
I mean, but in these tween novels... Well, I'm not going to call them a novel. That's giving a lot of credit. These tween books, these tween collection of words, isn't that just par for the course in how we build a narrative? Like, oh, yeah, how's he going to run into this vampire? I don't know, let's have him love spiders. What should the spider look like? That radioactive spider from Spider-Man. Nobody will make that connection.
I really thought that spider was going to turn into a person. Did you think that spider was really, like, a woman that could turn into a person?
I never thought that, but I thought, like, it's got to be related to, like, the freak somehow. Yeah. Like, there's some, like, there's more to it than it's just a spider. More than just a really smart spider. There's got to be, it's got to transform, like, into, like, some kind of Decepticon thing.
Yeah.
But it didn't. I was just, or I thought maybe it'll turn into Spider-Man. Or bite somebody and turn them into Spider-Man. I really was hoping for a crossover because this movie needed something to keep my interest.
See, that's what I wonder. Go ahead.
But this, like, the main thing about this movie, I talked about, I don't know what this is. I mean, this is part vampire origin story. It's part comedy. It's part best friends feuding. Part tween romance. Part vampire civil war. Like, there's just a lot of stuff in here. It feels like the creators, and maybe it's just true for the book, like, you know, if we include enough stuff, we're bound to capture an audience from somewhere.
There's nothing wrong with including a lot of layers to a story. Like,
when they're this poor, it is.
You know, I don't think so. I think you're being a little harsh on this one.
This movie is bad. It's not even an argument. It's just bad, flat out. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it's not a good movie.
Well, it's not terrible. It was entertaining enough. I didn't mind it. I do say, like, when the Destiny car comes. So when you have, like, Steve and Darren, and they kind of goof off a little bit or whatever, and Steve...
Well, let's talk about them goofing off. Like, the conflict of events is like, hey, let's cut class. Let's go to the roof that's right next to our classroom, and there are rocks at lights right next to the classroom, so we're sure to get... Like, I don't even know what kind of building they're in where all those things could even occur.
I mean, they had to have Darren get caught. So they had to figure out a way for him to get suspended from school and for it to be Steve's fault. I don't mind that they were out on the roof throwing rocks at a light. That's something very teenage boyish. So,
but how is there a classroom on the roof next to the light?
Well, it has levels. So if you have a classroom that is like, you know, one level and that has a roof, and then think like behind it that the next one has like two levels, so it's like an L on the outside.
But now back to the car, which... I can't wait to talk about this car. There's some amazing things here.
Okay, so the Destiny car. The
Is that like the official name, or are you making that up?
Oh, I'm making that up. It said on the license plate, so that's what I call it, the Destiny car.
Oh, really? It said Destiny on the license plate?
I cannot believe you, Ward. You are usually all about the details. And first of all, you don't watch the entire movie. You're coming at me with the wrong vampire vampanese.
Well, I was present for the entire movie. I was present for
it. My gosh.
But here's the thing. Normally, I watch the movie we're about to review, and I don't watch anything else between the time I watch that movie and our review, like, so it's fresh. And that just didn't happen this time, so I'm going to attribute to that. And if I watch this movie doesn't really want me to remember details. This movie doesn't really care if I'm into it. If it cared, it would be a better movie.
I will say that John C. Reilly's character's name, I called him Creepsley the entire time in my notes. I don't think that's his name. It's like Krepsley. I might call him Creepsley, because that's just what I wrote in my notes. Just to give you that little caveat first. So the Destiny car that comes by, you know, it's your pretty ominous looking car, kind of like a pimp my limo type situation, like this long black car.
Pimp my ride in the gothic period.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wondered when this movie was supposed to be set, because like once they get into like the Cirque and it being like quote unquote like a modern movie, it still has a very Victorian feel to it, but that's okay. So the car is driving by, the window opens, and a flyer comes flying out advertising the Cirque du Freak. Boom. There we go.
It's top-level marketing. Like, hey, instead of trying to capture a lot of people in a couple ads, let's do one flyer per person, just drive down the street and hand them flyers as you go.
I mean, that is,
and
yeah.
Because I thought, well, maybe there's more to it. Maybe they know who Darren is and they know he's special in some way. But the movie never really backs that up. So I just have to believe that this car just drives down every street looking for a couple of kids to entice, which there's a metaphor in of itself.
I will say that was a little silly. And we forgot to mention the bald guy who writes in a book, and whatever he writes in the book becomes real. I think there was like a little...
What?
What? Ward. Oh my
No. I have no recollection of this.
Okay, you know the bald guy I'm talking about, right? Because he's big.
Mr. Tiny is the only bald guy
Mr.
I know.
Mr. Tiny. Yeah. Yes. They show
him. He has a book?
Okay.
But wait, did it happen this early in the movie?
I think it happened this early because the whole point is that he sets into motion two boys fighting each other. So then I think what happens is they...
You know what? I think you were watching the European version. That must have some extended scenes on this. I think that's what's going on here.
I think that the whole reason they're throwing flyers out the window is to try to find the boys. Like,
what did he write in his book?
He wrote the battle between two boys, a good one and a bad one, and one killing the other. Like, he wrote that in his book.
Like, that specifically? Or did he write, like, a whole story about it?
Well, it was actually pictures. So he drew pictures.
He drew pictures?
Okay, anyways, I can't believe you. This is ridiculous. You really slacked off.
Did Mr. Tiny write this book any other time?
Well, no, but it's referred to the entire time. It's referred to.
When?
Oh.
No, it's not.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's not.
You're killing me today.
When did they refer to this nonsense?
They refer to it the entire... Every time Mr. Tiny talks, he refers to the book.
Really?
Oh,
This is baffling. I've got a lot of notes here. I just want to say that right now. I've got a lot of notes. I don't know how I missed this magic book.
It's pivotal. It's the whole reason that this is happening.
It can't be that pivotal because I missed it completely.
It's the whole reason it's happening because he, what he writes in the book happens in real life. That's destiny. He's like some sort of weird demonic demon that gets to play around with people on Earth. No? None of this is? No. Okay.
I mean, I thought he's just a vampire.
No, he's not a vampire.
Oh, he's not a vampire? God, he's worthless.
Oh my gosh, okay.
If you're not a vampire, what worth do you have?
Anyways.
None.
Steven.
Ask Steve. Steven. Wait, isn't Steve like a vampire for the Vampirnies? And he's Mr. Tiny's protege? Is that not a
thing?
That
becomes a thing, yes. Darren's
Tiny's
technically never a vampire. He's a vampire's assistant.
Oh, he's close enough. He's half vampire. We'll round up. Alright, so Ray Stevenson, is he a vampire?
Who's that?
He's like Mr. Tiny's lap dog.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely.
Human lap dog.
He's like head of the Vampinies.
How about Mr. Tiny had that role?
No, he's not a vampire or a Vampinies. Okay.
Are you sure, though? Because he felt like a vampire.
Here's what I even wrote it down when he said what he is. He wants to see a war. He travels from life to death to bring about the apocalypse. He needs a champion, one of two boys.
Where did you get this information?
He literally spoke it in dialogue.
Really? This is wild.
Oh my gosh. I can't even. Did you seriously watch this movie or did you just
I seriously all right, I'll go into my next note and this will prove that I saw the movie because only a person that saw the movie would know this. So they go to the freak show and they go to the ticket window and Steve is bitten by an elf. And they don't comment on it. He's not like, holy cow, an elf bit me. I don't even know what it is. He's like, huh, it bit me. You want to go to the show? I just don't get how they don't acknowledge an evil elf bit him. They don't say anything. They don't mention elf. They don't say, well, we don't know what kind of diseases those little monsters carry. Maybe we should take it to the doctor. They're like, oh, I guess we should just go to the show. What in the world? How do you not acknowledge an elf bites you? Dobby the house elf bites him and they do nothing.
Okay, point number one, they're at a freak show, so they're expecting to see quote-unquote freaks. So I don't think they're worried.
If I went to a freak show, I'd not expect to get bitten by a house
elf. Okay, rule number two, it's not an elf.
Is it not? What is it then? It looks just like Dobby and Creature
from
Harry Potter.
Okay, serious question.
It's probably the same model.
Do you not know what they are? Did you see the part in the movie where it shows what they are?
I mean, I saw, like, this is probably the coolest part of the movie. One of the Dobbies pulls out his own beating heart out of his chest. That is a cool parlor trick. I loved it. My favorite part of the movie. That's about all I know. They wear robes and stuff. They're little magic men.
Okay, listen. Mr. Tiny turns dead.
Oh, yeah. He turned people into Dobbies.
Dead Vampinies into those. So we know later, like at the very end, what they are. I called them creepers throughout because they're not really elves. I called them creepers.
No, they look just like Dobby and Creature from Harry Potter.
Okay, I've never seen Harry Potter. I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm going to call them creepers.
Well, they look just like Dobby and Creature from Harry Potter.
You can keep saying that.
Creature spelled with
a K.
And
it's not going to change my mind.
No, I'm helping you out because now, like, when you're out in the world and people start talking about Harry Potter, like, oh, yeah, the house elves, Dobby and Creature. Now I'll give you, like, instant Harry Potter cool points.
So they go into the Cirque du Freak. This I actually really enjoyed. I liked seeing every individual person and what they do.
Yes, this was cool. Yes. Like, the thing is, we've had freak show type movies and TV shows, and I just thought the freak show, I feel bad calling them freaks, but they call themselves freaks, so I assume it's acceptable. I just thought they'd have a more pivotal role, there'd be more depth to these people, like, it really, it's there just to impress us, slash scare us, slash weird us out. I just want them to have more of a purpose, like, you know, maybe they help Darren defeat Mr. Tiny, I don't know, they just... They're just there. They're basically like eye candy, like a bizarre eye candy.
But again, this was supposed to be part one of at least two, by the way it's all set up. So maybe they had a role. Like, I'm willing to kind of be on good faith that they could have had a better one, that this was just an origin story and the next one could have been better.
Well, let's say they do have a bigger role. The fact is, and this is a belief I hold strongly, any movie, I don't care if it's part of a 10-part franchise, the movie should be self-contained and tell a complete story to start to stop. Like, it's not like, oh, wait, this is just the introduction to, like, the real movie's next. And that's the problem with, let's take it way back to, like, the late 90s or 2000s, Lord of the Rings. part of the problem with those movies is the first one is a pretty, like, this is typical for a lot of trilogies. The first one is pretty good, self-contained. The second one is filler to the third. And the third is this big conclusion that, you know, there's no story. It's just big conclusion. You can't do that in a movie. The movies need to be self-contained. I don't care if it's one, two, three, or four, or however many you want to do it. They need to be self-contained. So if they were betting on this, oh, we're going to get a sequel on this, there's no way any sane, rational person who's making this movie, whoever touched this movie, thought, we are guaranteed a sequel on this, boys. We got it.
Well, that's a fair point. Okay, so let's talk about some of these, you know, I don't like calling them freaks either, but they call themselves. So they have the Wolfman.
Ken Watanabe. Like, he's like the tall dude. Oh, Ken Watanabe. Yes.
If we have him.
I wasn't sure if his head was misshapen or that's just like his comb over playing a visual trick on him.
Yeah, I don't know if the producers knew the answer to that question. Because I feel like it changed throughout the movie. Like, sometimes it's a big head and sometimes, yeah, not so much. Okay, we have the Wolfman, which is all CGI. We have the woman who can grow back her body parts. We have the guy who does, oh, he doesn't have, like, a stomach. He just has, like, a rib cage, which was pretty neat. We have a woman with super strong teeth that can cut through metal. We have a guy that has two bellies. We have Snake Boy, who's, like, Snake Teenager. And then we have Selma Hayek, who is the bearded lady. I believe when she gets excited, her beard grows. I think that's what they were saying.
That seems to be the case. That's a bit weird. Okay, like, yes. All right, I'll take it. That's pretty cool.
And then we have John C. Reilly.
Oh, you forgot the teeth girl.
Oh, the strong teeth girl, yes. And we have John C. Reilly, who is, as I say, Creepsley or Krepsley. And
Krepsley.
When he shows up, he's just like a magician.
The guy with two bellies. And he obviously is the best show. He vomits up a bicycle and rides away on it. I love that.
That was brilliant.
I want more of that out of this movie.
Yes, it was very cool. So Steve recognizes Krepsley because he has a vampire book and Krepsley's in the vampire book. So Steve is super excited because he's seeing, well, and kind of creeped out, that he's seeing an actual real vampire. We also get to see Octa, who is the mesmerizing spider who, I suppose, as you say, starts this whole thing off. Because Darren has, like, a weird trance with the spider. Like, he just falls in love with this spider.
He, like, crushing big time on this spider.
Oh, my
God. Love at first sight.
Craziness.
But, I mean, this spider is, it's a Spider-Man spider. Yeah. Red and blue. And, I mean, is that, like, a nod to spider? Like, why? Why would they do it like that?
I don't understand that either. But we're going to fast forward just a little bit and get to...
What? One crucial plot point that if you'd seen this, you'd know... Selma Hayek has a foreboding vision about Darren.
Yes. Well, yes. And so she tells Krepsley...
I can't believe you missed that crucial part.
All right.
How dare you?
She tells Krepsley not to go out there to cancel it, you know, because she has a bad feeling about it. But he does not. So, yes. So now they're in the dressing room after.
Well, can I jump in? I want to talk about Steve and his vampire book.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure... I can't remember a specific instance, but I'm sure I've seen vampire books. I never thought... Oh, wow, this is factual. I'm going to get this book, and maybe one day I'll see this vampire, and he can autograph the book for me. That just felt a little weird. Also, Steve, I feel like if you've got this book, maybe his goal should be like, I got to get this book. I got to get this dude to sign my book, because that'd just be the ultimate piece. But instead, he knows what Krepsley is, knows he's a vampire. He's like, I'm going to confront him and take him down. The thought process for everybody in this movie is wild. There's just no... process there.
Well, he wants to be a vampire. See, he doesn't have a place in the world. Like, he only has one friend, and he wants power and respect. So he wants to be a vampire. And Krepsley tests his blood by poking him and then, like, licking the wound and says, you know, you're evil. You can't be a vampire or whatever. All
but
right.
That's the point, though. Isn't Willem Dafoe there? And they both be like,
yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, I was like, oh, this movie is a comedy. I hadn't quite realized. Now I understand. It's just, that is a wild scene, too. Just in the context of what this movie is, as I'm trying to figure out what it's supposed to be.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that Willem Dafoe, I guarantee you, if Willem Dafoe is at home, like, hosting a party, it's like, oh, Willem, man, why don't you show Jack and says, like, why don't you put on a show? He'd run to the bathroom, get a marker, draw a little mustache, and, like, do this as a gag. Willem Dafoe knew this movie was a joke, and he's playing the part accordingly.
You know,
he is having a great time.
I don't know if you realized or if you saw, but his neck was completely white, as if from dead from being a vampire, and then his face was just all foundation, the color of flesh. Did you notice that kind of subtle makeup thing that he did? I loved it.
I may have noticed at the time. I don't recall it.
Okay, we're going to fast forward through some of this. Let's just talk about this. There's a lot to go through. We gotta fast forward.
I mean, well, when we get to the end, my notes are pretty sparse. I really don't have that much more to do.
Okay.
All my notes are front-loaded here.
Let's just get to the fact that, well, okay, so Darren steals the spider because he is in love with the spider and wants to have spider babies, okay? Takes it to the school. Can we at least get to that?
No, I just want to talk about Krebsley for a minute, just to place him in this world. He's a vampire. He's presumably powerful. I don't know. I mean, vampire, I don't know about these vampires, because this rewrites the book on vampires a little bit as far as rules and, like, you know, what we assume or what we've known, folklore. I'm just going to assume he could persuade people that he could pretty much do anything he wants, be a rich playboy. Why choose the small stage of a freak show? I mean, I guess on one hand, you're traveling around the country, so you're never in one spot too long. You know, it keeps your profile low. But I just feel like he should have loftier ambitions than playing a flute for a spider.
But why not? I mean, he's been alive for hundreds and hundreds of years. So maybe at some point he did that life, and this is the life that he's settling into now. He wants something different.
Maybe he just changes his life every couple of years. Maybe this is a transition life. He's going to, like, you know, be playboy next life.
Maybe so. Okay.
I mean, because he's got a red suit. That's playboy material. Like, he's going that way.
It was nice.
Obviously.
It was a nice suit. And he had boyish curly hair.
So, I'm pretty sure this is true, but I just want to double check. In this movie, vampires don't have sharp canines, right? Because they continually poke people in the shoulder with their finger and suck the blood that way.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yes, that's, as far as I could understand, yes, that is true.
I thought that was kind of cool, because I was like, oh, yeah, like, if we're ascribing that, oh, so much of what we know about vampires is just folklore that's not true, which this movie does a fair bit of that, I could get why you think a vampire is biting a neck, because, you know, where they poke them, the shoulders close to the neck. I was like, oh, that's just this thing where somebody may have seen that, misinterpreted it. Like, I thought it was kind of a cool detail, and I was hoping the movie would do more of that, of kind of debunking what we think we know or assume, and stuff like that. But really, that's, like, the coolest debunking part, is that, oh, they don't have teeth, they just poke you the finger.
They poke the finger.
Oh, no, the coolest part is the magic vampire spit. It heals wounds, it cleans ovens, it can use as a paste, as glue. It's amazing.
Yes, that's right. They should bottle that and sell it. Yes. Okay. So Darren takes the spider to school. The spider gets loose. Steve tries to kill the spider. Spider ends up biting Steve. Steve is in the hospital, dying, fighting for his life.
Darren stole a vampire spider. Like, all right, like, fine, you're in love with the spider. Okay, it is very mesmerizing. I get it. But you're just going to straight up steal a vampire spider. It just seems like a huge escalation. And like everything, he didn't think this through. Like, there's no way that ends well when you steal a vampire spider.
No, that's no way. And it doesn't, because he goes to confront him and ask for the antidote. And Krebsley's like, I'll give you the antidote, but in return, you have to become my assistant. Despite the fact that in the previous scene where Steve asked to become a vampire, they specifically said they don't turn kids. So I think what they did plot-wise is make him the assistant so that technically he's not a vampire. But I don't know.
We don't turn kids, technically. Mm. Technically true, it's still true.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
We didn't fully turn him, it counts.
Yeah. But like you said, one of the interesting things, since they don't have fangs, is that in order to become a vampire, it wasn't like a bloody, gory thing. They just, like, cut
their
fingertips.
You have to play patty cake.
And put their fingertips. Yeah, I did patty cake. Put their fingertips together and transferred blood that way. And then they went to save Steve.
And, like, the problem is, I think that idea is actually pretty cool, and I can guarantee that if I was reading that in the book, like, I could picture my mind and think, oh, that looks pretty cool. But this movie, like, the execution is not there. It just comes across as so stupid.
It is. But he has now saved his friend, but he has also...
Can I jump in? I have a question. Because Willem Dafoe and O'Reilly are talking about... Not O'Reilly, C. Reilly. They're talking about vampires and vampirinese. They talked about Mo Freakins. I'm not sure what that is. Like, there's so many weird names in this.
Yeah, there are.
Mo Freakins. What is a Mo Freakins?
I don't know. That one I didn't follow. I didn't follow
it. Okay, just checking out.
I did follow the part where John C. Reilly says that he's 20 years old. I wrote that down in my notes. Did you know that he was supposed to be around his 20s?
But that's, C. Reilly doesn't say it. Somebody else says that about him, that vampires age differently, and he's effectively only 20. But there's some issues with that. And A, if he's 20, how old was he when he was turned? Because he does not look 20 currently.
No.
more like a good 40, yes. like 40 with some miles on
yes.
it. So I wasn't really sure. Are they telling me that, you know, like he's de-aging, that he looks 40 and he's got the body of a 20, but he's like the health of a 20? I don't know. I don't know how to parse that because there's really no way to do it. No, I reach a dead end every path I take.
Perfect, as did I. So now Darren is starting to transform, and he's becoming a bit of a hazard to his family because he basically wants to eat them.
But, you know, talking about the transformation process, I just like when Riley's like, oh, yeah, you can save Steve, but you've got to become my assistant. And he's like, okay, sure, I'll do it. That is some powerful guilt. Like, I get you're the reason your friend might die. That is some powerful guilt to agree to that. I'm not sure if I was in his situation. I know I wouldn't do that in his situation. Like, I mean, I'm sorry my friend's going to die, but I'm going to become your assistant, dog. Sorry.
Well, I think that he thought that he could get rid of the vampire. Like, they go and they save Steve, and then he's like, get back, and he makes, like, the sign of the cross with his fingers, like, as if that's going to be all it takes.
You think that's his whole plan right there? Yeah. Like, he's like, I got this. I'm going to agree. Yeah. But I got a little ace up my sleeve.
Exactly. And then he's like, oh, shoot. Like, it didn't work. So he has to say goodbye to his family and go off with John C. Reilly and be a part of the Cirque Freak. So that's how he ends up with his fake funeral in the coffin that we saw at the beginning of the movie, playing on a phone that Steve had given his corpse. Okay.
Yep.
Pretty much. Okay.
And yeah, like when we unearth that coffin, that is such a cool visual. The absolute, without a doubt, coolest visual of the movie is when C. Reilly digs through the ground. Because like the way they set it up, you know, it's kind of like a head-on view of him digging through the ground to the coffin, and you see that both happening. Great scene, great visual, and I wish the rest of the movie, like, was 1% that kind of cool visual. Any scene, I'll take any scene at a 1% level of that. Unfortunately, they're all lower than that. And that is not hyperbole, that is fact. I did the math.
Okay. Well, we get a vampire fight instantly. Darren is unearthed, and we instantly get a fight because the Vampanese want Darren. They just want one boy to be evil is basically what it seems, because they need an evil
Why?
One. Well, okay, you didn't see the end, and I'm going to wait and tell you all of that later.
Now, I was present for the end. Like,
yeah.
The way you say I didn't see it, it's like I wasn't there. It was playing. I was in front of the screen. I just don't recall the end.
Anyways, so they're trying to get Darren and trying to get, and they do actually kidnap him at some point. I don't know, though. Somehow Kresley gets him. Krebs. I've called him five different names now.
Yeah.
The vampire gets him back. John C. Reilly gets him back. Okay. And they agree to allow him to stay at Cirque du Freak. Now, Cirque du Freak is neutral territory. It is like in John Wick, the hotel. It is a place where vampires and vampanese can go and nobody is allowed to fight. Neutral territory.
Really? How do we know it's neutral? I'm not going to ask how we know. I'm sure somebody said it.
They
at some point.
Literally
Why is it neutral territory?
Said it out loud. Multiple
okay, but why?
Times.
Do they say why?
Because bringing the boy on neutral territory actually made it seem like they were taking sides with John C. Reilly, who has a history of fighting Vampanese. So,
but what makes the Cirque du Freak neutral?
They just decided to be neutral.
It's like when you're playing tag and you're like, oh yeah, chair's base. Like, that's pretty much what you're saying? Okay.
And Darren meets a girl and thus starts the little teenage romance. Now, she looks completely normal and we don't find out her quote-unquote freakness until much later in the movie. But she's offended that he is calling them freaks and that he thinks that he is not one of them. He makes it clear he is not.
He's totally a freak.
No.
But yeah, as soon as that girl appeared and she was Darren's age, I was like, oh, we're going to have a forced romance. And there's really no need for that. I mean, usually, like, the whole thing could have continued with him just being friendly, not a forced romance. It's silly.
It is silly. He's roommates with the Snake Boy. And,
which I actually like. That character is strange. Because for a movie where I'm continually trying to figure out what genre is this, Snake Boy is kind of emo.
Yeah, I would say that good. I think he really wants to be a rock star at heart, but he's part of the, you know, circus, and he can't really leave it, and he has no place to go, so.
Yeah, but he'd be a cool rock star, because, you know, like, if a rock star came out looking like that, they think, oh, that's, like, crazy makeup, I'm gonna check this guy. Like, he's got a great hook, and I think he gets to capitalize on it, and I can only hope that in a book somewhere down the line, he chases his dream, he becomes a rock star, and, you know, like, I don't think he'd be a huge rock star, like a legend. But, you know, I think he'd make an album or two, at least two albums, maybe three, and have a song that, like, maybe reaches top 40.
You've given this some thought.
Yeah, I thought the characters had some potential. I mean, they squandered it. This movie squanders everything. It's just like a black hole.
Wow. So Darren does errands for the Cirque, and he starts fitting in and liking the people. And then Mr. Tiny comes to get the boy. He wants his little creeper guys to keep an eye on Darren, because, again, he wants Darren. Gotta get that Darren.
I will say that, like, I knew Mr. Tiny was after Darren. Knowing why does put a bit of a different spin on this.
I can't with you right now. Okay, the next scene in my notes is...
I think you're going to jump ahead of me, because I think I'm still at the... I don't really know where I'm at. But we're in the camp, and this was a bit much. I mean, this movie's not really like a gross-out thing, but this was a gross-out part where the incredible skinny man and their generative woman... They are cannibalizing her. They are eating her finger together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was unsettling.
Yes.
I'm always asking myself, what is the tone of this movie? What is the genre? And that just seems like a scene that's out of step from the rest of this.
First of all, they're not eating her finger. They are.
Yeah, they are.
They are sucking her finger seductively. That was supposed to be some sort of creepy, sexy.
No, they ate it.
No.
They were
sucking it. Like, if you were sucking somebody's finger in, like, a sexy way, that is what was happening. Except she removed her finger so they can both partake in it.
I thought they were, like, sucking it down like a, like, beauty, Lady and the Tramp piece of spaghetti.
I mean, that's what it looked like, but I think that it was some sort of love thing going on. That's the vibe that I picked up. And because actually watched this whole movie from start to finish, I feel like I can get the final say on things like this.
I was like, there's nothing you have said has made me think, oh, I need to go back and, like, check that out. Maybe it'll make this more sense. But this scene, now I kind of feel like 44% obligated to go back and see where they're eating the finger or sucking on it.
They're not eating the finger.
Otherwise, eating it. And if they're just sucking on the finger, I'm a little disappointed, frankly.
They're just sucking on the finger. They're not eating the finger.
Oh, that's not fun.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't like them eating it. It's a little weird, but, you know, it made me remember it. Now I'm just seem like throwing a black hole for
all right, so the love interest, Darren's love interest, who I don't think I ever wrote down her name, she decides that
At one time they call her Monkey Girl, but that might be towards the end.
It's Monkey Girl. Well, you just told what she is. She's a monkey girl. She has a tail.
No, I didn't say what she had. Maybe she has some crazy
hands.
That's why she wore gloves all the time.
We find that out because she decides that Darren needs a new pair of pants. I don't know. He comes in to, like, see her, and she's like,
I wonder if that was
a
metaphor.
Have a hole in them.
I was like, is this a metaphor? He needs pants? What's going to happen here?
I
thought this was a PG-13 movie.
And so he takes off his pants and then, I guess, puts on a new pair of pants. And then she's like, I'm a monkey girl.
That's the end
girl.
Of the scene.
And then
great writing. This movie, top notch.
And then she shows the tail. Like, that's pretty much what happens. Okay. And then we fast forward to two things happening. We have Krepsley teaching Darren how to fight and Darren resisting. And we have Steve getting turned into an evil Vampanese. Which, his initiation into Vampanese was far worse. Far, far less gentle than Darren.
Really? Can you refresh my memory? Because I don't know.
Okay, all right. So, Steve got beaten to a pulp. And Darren just had to play patty cake.
Who beat Steve off?
All the Vampanese. Especially the leader Vampanese.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now, yeah.
And then Steve, like... gets very excited with his powers and kills his jerk teacher, and that's his first feed.
Really? How'd he kill him?
Are you freaking kidding me right now?
If you tell me, it might jog a memory.
They go to his house at, like, midnight, and then the lead Vampanese guy is there, and I don't know, he, like, punches him or something, and then Steve just, like, attacks him, and then it cuts out.
I remember this. Yeah. See, I told you if you just jump started, I'd remember it eventually.
Darren!
And I did.
Excuse me. Darren, on the other hand, still does not want to eat a human. Or eat human blood. No human blood.
Why did he become a vampire? Seems short-sighted.
Okay. The
And all to save a friend that hates him and wants to kill him.
Well, now we're getting to sort of the more climaxy part of the movie, because we have it all set up.
We're also getting to the end of my notes.
Steve, who's the Vampanese now... We have Darren, who is technically a vampire, and we have Mr. Tiny, who is very excited that his war is about to be on the outbreak, because we have a good guy and a bad guy. All right? Okay.
I mean, arguably.
All right, so Mr. Tiny The Vampanese go to the circus and start a rumbling. That's basically all I have in my notes for that scene.
Good summary. Did you ever buy that Steve and Darren were friends? Because, I mean, in essence, they become arch enemies. I didn't quite buy it. I mean, because I was trying to figure out, I mean, I get that Steve is mad that Darren's a vampire and Steve isn't. But if they're really friends, it just seems like, I don't know, couldn't Steve be like, yo, Darren, turn him into a vampire too?
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah. But again, I feel like this was like an origin story that just didn't really develop very well.
Doesn't really originate. Is the vampire war, is it predicated on these two kids?
Yes.
Or could we have a vampire war without these two kids?
No.
I think they could have a vampire war.
Listen, okay,
them.
So there was a treaty or a truce between the vampires and the Vampanese for like 100 years. And Mr. Tiny wanted this truce to end. And the way he was going to do it was to get a leader for both of them. And when he drew his pictures in the book, they were two teenagers who rose up through the vampires and the Vampanese as the leaders during this war. And they were going to fight each other and one was going to kill the other. And then that...
Is this like his long-term plan? Like, he's going to wait years for these kids to grow up and become leaders?
You know what? I don't know what Mr. Tiny's plan was. But that's all I saw.
I mean, I would think that it just take time. Because if I'm a vampire that's thousands of years old, and I don't know, maybe I look like Alexander Skarsgård because he's a famous vampire, or that other dude in Sleepwalker.
Oh, gosh.
I would not accept Darren as my vampire leader at any point.
Well, he's still not even a full-blooded vampire.
Exactly. So what? This movie makes no sense. How can anything happen?
The ending of this movie...
Is Steve a vampire, or is he like a... Half-blood.
No. Okay, so he's Darren's half.
Mudblood.
Steve's full.
Or a muggle.
Full Vampanese. Okay.
Well, that just seems unfair. I mean,
it is unfair.
Darren's like doing what he's supposed to and not a full-blood vampire.
Well, the ending is kind of lame in this movie. But okay, so Mr. Tiny.
Really? Oh, just the ending? I thought the entire movie was.
Yeah, I
lame.
Noticed that. Mr. Tiny and Steve visit Darren's home and get his family and hold them hostage in order to make Darren come back and fight. And they set up the final fight at Cirque du Freak where they first met. So Darren goes to the theater and sees his family and friends and Steve. His family is being tied up and they are being suspended over the stage as well as Monkey Girl. And I just have to say, like, as actors being suspended over that stage, I was watching in the background during the fight to see how many times you see them. And they're actually there a pretty decent amount of time. So they had to be suspended, just as, like, actors, in, like, a body harness in the air for probably, like, days of shooting. I imagine that was really uncomfortable for them. I felt bad for them, just as human beings up there.
Maybe they were taking naps or something. Maybe, like, you know, it's kind of so where they could nap.
I mean, it would just be really uncomfortable in that harness, I imagine. But anyways,
I would imagine that the worst part of being strung up like that is having to watch this garbage fight.
Yep, I knew that was coming. I just walked right into that one. Okay, so Krebsley. So Darren is getting his butt kicked.
Can you call him C. Riley? Because I really just don't like the name Krebsley.
Okay, Darren is getting his butt kicked, right? And John C. Riley shows
garbage.
Up.
Because he's garbage.
And now he's getting his butt kicked.
Wait, who shows
John
up?
John C. Riley.
C. Riley.
Right.
Okay.
And he's trying to save the day or whatever. Meanwhile, Darren drinks Monkey Girl's blood. So now Darren finally gets the boost of...
But she did consent to that. Just, you know, let's throw that out.
Yes, it was fully consensual. And so now what happens is Krebsley kills the head of the Vampanese. The mentor of Steve, he kills him. And...
But yeah, at one point in this fight, I just want to say that. At one point in the fight, I don't know what happens, but Riley is walking around with Stevenson's tooth in his... forehead.
Oh, yeah.
It's just kind of dumb.
Yeah.
And this is a verbatim quote from my notes. And this thoughts Padma has on watching this fight. This fight is bathroom break material.
That's sad. Since it's basically the crux of the whole entire movie. Because you have Darren fighting Steve and, you know, all of that. So anyways, Mr. Tiny intervenes and he, like, freezes Steve and Darren as they're fighting. Because now Darren is really angry at Steve. Steve's really angry at Darren. All love is lost, apparently. And Mr. Tiny reveals a very important piece of information. He says that Darren is the bloodthirsty one. So basically, the entire movie, he really wanted Darren to turn evil because in Darren's blood, he is the bloodthirsty one, not Steve. So can you imagine how bloodthirsty Darren would be if brought to full potential? I think that's what they're saying. So that was a little interesting.
Well, it's also interesting because he doesn't want to drink blood the entire movie, which would make him seem not bloodthirsty.
Yeah, but somewhere deep down in his essence is a bloodthirsty Vampanese, which is interesting. What I don't love about this
interesting
ending...
Interesting how? How is it interesting?
What I don't love about the ending is that Steve really could have just walked away and been with his friend and become a normal vampire and lived happily ever after, but he basically just says, destiny. Can't do anything about it. It's written in the book. And he's like, bye. And then he goes off with Mr. Tiny.
Does that really happen?
Pretty much. Like, he's basically like, this is how it's meant to be. This is destiny. And that's it. Like, you have a role to play. I have a role to play. Nothing we can do about it. As if he literally has no choice. But he does. And so he leaves with Mr. Tiny. And Darren hypnotizes his family so they forget all of it. And Darren goes and lives with the circus people. Yep. And that's basically how the movie ends. Ugh.
I want to harken back my notes here. I told you my bathroom break note. I have two sentences after that to sum up the rest of the movie. That's a dumb ending. This is a dumb movie.
Perfect. Okay. Excellent. Well, I mean, I didn't hate it nearly as much as you did. It got a 5.9 out of 10.
I don't understand how you can't hate it.
It got a 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, it was fine.
No, it's not. You cannot spread that misinformation. It was not fine.
So a sequel would have been released in 2011 or 2012. This first one was 2009. However, it had mixed reviews and it couldn't really get the money it needed. So any sort of
Surprise.
A sequel has been placed on hold or it has been canceled. Yeah. So, you know, unfortunately, we'll never get to see what happens to Darren.
I think that's fortunately. We don't need to.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to add about this movie before we wrap it up?
No, I managed to get all my punches in there.
Great.
During the episode, there's just nothing to be said. I think I've been very clear on what
I think so too. I think so. All right. Well, is there anything you want to promote? Any place on the internet you want to guide people if they want to know more about you?
Not more about me, more about what I do. I have an Instagram with Waterworks. I'm currently very deep into a deck project, replacing the deck on my house. You know, lots of pictures, some helpful how-tos if you're building a deck. You'll find it useful. Even if you're not building a deck, you're like, I want to see what it looks like for a dude to pour 1,000 pounds of concrete in a weekend. Hop on the Instagram.
Perfect. You can find me at Nico Bell Fiction on Instagram or Twitter. I'm actually not doing much posting because I'm writing a book right now that's due in October. So, yeah. But you can follow me. I'd really appreciate that. And you can find us at Box Office Refund on Twitter and Instagram. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
A quick question. You said you're writing a book. Is it about the eternal struggle between vampires and vampirenese? Or is it now about that? Have you been inspired?
Okay. You know what?
Oh, you can write a sequel that never was to the movie.
Okay, I'm going to shut you down now. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Box. Office. Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.